Greetings, friends. Good morning here once again with us. 7:47 a.m. on the dial on this side. East Coast, Canada. New Brunswick, Canada. More poignantly, Riverview, New Brunswick, Canada. Moncton, New Brunswick, Canada. Dieppe, New Brunswick, Canada. The Tri-City is what's going on here. Stéphane Maillet is my name. AddedSouls.com is the website. I am a minister. I minister. I serve. I'm a Christian. I'm a gospel preacher. I'm an evangelist. I try to be what the Bible wants me to be. And you can give it all the titles you want. I'd stick with the descriptions of the scriptures. The description of the scriptures. So I am a minister for the Riverview Church of Christ, the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. That's why we have the name there. We are autonomous. We do not belong to any other group other than the one we can read about in the Bible. And we had to give a name to the church in which it is authorized and belongs to, and it's Jesus. It's his church. It's not mine. It's not anybody else's. So, you know, it's fitting to call it the church that belongs to Jesus Christ. Yeah. Paul understood that as well in Romans 16:16, didn't he not? Of course. And we are a small group at this time. And we just want to do what the Bible says. This is mission field to the extreme, if you will. Untapped territory. A world enamored with religion, just not the right kind of religion. Just not the Bible religion. Individuals who believe in all sorts of gods or no gods. But you can't find their gods in the Bible. So we want to try to be the hub source here of Bible truth. And that's why we challenge you to check out the things we say in the Bible. It's not about me, it's about the substance of the gospel being proclaimed, rightly handled. Can you look in the Bible and see what is being said, proclaimed, right? Of course. Okay, so we find ourselves in Pod Vlog episode 36, titled Good News Support. Good News Support. Important stuff taking place, huh? Yeah. I'm going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Key text here, if you will. I'll quote it very quickly. Now, this I say, Paul speaking to the Christians in Corinth, of course. Now, this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly, or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. You know, that's not an opinion or a suggestion. I do believe strongly that that is inspired text, and it's an instruction, is it not? Of course it is. Good news support. The context here, of course, Paul writes of a gathered donation. Bountiful gift to be made by individual Christian members of the church. That is what is taking place here. And our thesis, if you will, pay attention. If we want to show our love for God, we want to produce faith, right? And if we want gospel influence to unite us in sharing Jesus stronger and further, we will give to the cause. We will give to the cause. If we want to show our love for God, and if we want gospel influence to unite us in sharing Jesus stronger and further, we will give to the cause. 2 points in our introduction. Bountifully, not sparingly. That's important. We need to understand what we're talking about when we read bountifully and not sparingly. We also want to know what is going on with purposed and cheerful, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Good morning, Marilyn. Good to see you on our comment thread this AM with us here. We've got 2 Corinthians chapter 9 open here, and we're taking a look at a pod vlog I titled Good News Support. Bountifully, not sparingly, purposed and cheerful, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Now this I say, he who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and he who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Verse 6, chapter 9, 2 Corinthians. The more time and effort we put into financially giving for the cause of Christ, the more God will provide us with what is needed to exceed in opportunities for the gospel. When I first began my walk in faith, I could not see this teaching. I did not yet understand the wisdom of it. I had to walk on this earth as a faithful Christian for many more years. Enough years that I could look back and say, wow, this teaching is true, is it not? Of course it is. Of course it is. I've seen the providence of God, though I could not defend it in court. I can say, as Paul has once said, perhaps providence. But I do know that the teaching is true, for I have practiced it, though even at the time I did not understand it fully or see the big picture, I practiced the command. And now, looking back, I see how you can't outgive God. You cannot outgive God. And when you give for the gospel cause, when you have learned how to discern, when you've grown the wisdom to see what is right and what is wrong, and you give to what is right, you will be blessed spiritually. The more time and effort we put into financially giving for the cause of Christ, the more God will provide us with what is needed to exceed in opportunities for the gospel. Pay attention. It is a matter of faith. It's a matter of faith. How much trust do we have in Jesus Christ? That's the power of giving. It operates as a barometer of sorts, a measuring tool, a gauge that reveals how much trust we have in Jesus Christ. The Christians in Macedonia have faith, do they not? They had faith, of course. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, 1-6, I quote, "Now, brethren, we wish to make known to you the grace of God which has been given in the churches of Macedonia." Which kind of churches? There's just one kind of churches. Romans 16, 16, the kinds that belong to Jesus Christ. Thank you. "That in a great ordeal of affliction," oh, they were receiving much persecution, "their abundance of joy and their deep poverty overflowed in the wealth of their liberality. For I testify," verse 3, "that according to their ability and beyond their ability, they gave of their own accord." Didn't have to push him to it. "Begging us with much urging for the favor of participation in the support of the saints. And this, not as we had expected, but they first gave themselves to the Lord and to us by the will of God. So," verse 6, "we urged Titus that as he had previously made a beginning, so he would also complete in you this gracious work as well." Powerful. Very powerful. It is a matter of faith. It is a matter of trust in Jesus Christ, to the point that we first give ourselves to Jesus Christ. We've denied ourselves and our worldly ways and all kinds of false religious ideologies. We've denied everything. We've picked up his cross daily, haven't we? We've given ourselves first to Jesus Christ. Our trust is great in Jesus Christ, is it not? It is to be. So much so that you don't need to tell us to give. We want to give. Matter of fact, we're going to beg you to give. We want to give. Nothing you can say will stop us from giving. Even in our poverty, we understand that we've been set free from the shackles of myth, fiction, lies, and deception. We've been set free, John 8:32. It is, of course, through the words of Jesus Christ, John 8:31. The very words that grow our faith. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Jesus Christ, Romans 10:17. Oh yes, my friends. Giving to the gospel cause, good news support, certainly is attached to a matter of faith in Jesus Christ. It is a matter of the heart. It's a matter of the heart. You can tell a Christian's faithfulness through this giving channel. And when I mean channel, I mean the path. I mean the road. The opportunity. It's a matter of the heart. John 2:13-16. Let me quote that there. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. John 2:13-16. Let's quote that, shall we? Chapter 2:13-16. Where are we? There we go. And the Jews' Passover was at hand, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem and found in the temple those that sold oxen and sheep and doves and the changers of money sitting. And when he had made a scourge, verse 15, he'd made a scourge of small cords, he drove them out, all of them, all out of the temple, and the sheep and the oxen, and poured out the changers' money, and overthrew the tables, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my Father's house an house of merchandise. Oh, Jesus has righteous anger. He displayed it. Friends, good news support is a matter of the heart. Not only is a matter of is it a matter of faith, it is a matter of the heart. The offering was mandatory. The problem was not the purchase of doves for the sacrifice, for many would have to travel long distances, but rather their hearts were no longer on offering to God, but rather on the profit one could make off of it. That's some powerful stuff we need to look at. Do we not know of those in the church who sow sparingly? Oh, yeah. In my limited experience, which runs but a decade deep, or close to a decade deep, I have certainly have had to deal with Christians who sow sparingly. Stingy. They're stingy, they're greedy, covetous-minded brethren who won't give a dime for any gospel fruit, but yet are quick to shout out a critic against the preacher's pay, the missions budget, the digital and physical evangelistic endeavors. Oh, you know them. These are spiritually reluctant souls headed towards eternal destruction. It's a matter of salvation. They've robbed God. Serious stuff. Friends, we understand that we have to always be on time when it comes to paying the insurance, paying the bills, the mortgage, right? The medical bills, all other bills. Of course we know that. We know there are consequences when we don't pay the bills. Right? Yeah, if you've lived long enough and you've made enough stupid decisions in your life, you know that the bill man, he ain't playing. He ain't playing. He will come get his money. And if he can't get it from you, oh, he'll take it from everyone around you. Now, if the heathen can understand the importance of such things, paying the bills, why can't some brethren? We understand. We are quick to give money to anything the world gives us. If it's entertainment, here, thank you. Keep entertaining us. Here's all my money. If it's teaching us in our schools, academic settings, yeah, here, thank you, Mr. Professor. Here's some money. I want you to keep teaching me. We understand that. If you want to purchase any books, whatever it is you wish to purchase, you know it takes financial sacrifice on your part in order to receive the thing that you are purchasing. Well, can we give to the gospel? Can we give to the gospel? There are some Christians who'll spend the whole year buying books from denominations. They'll buy all sorts of books from all kinds of false teachers. They won't buy one book from the Brotherhood. Nope. They won't give one dime to any kind of mission or any kind of work. Nope. You know these brethren. They sit among us. It shouldn't be. Shouldn't be. Worldly-minded brethren will rush headlong to invest thousands of dollars in secular living and materialistic accumulation, but will then complain because they had to give a penny for God. Oh, I've seen them. Oh, I've seen them. I've seen them. I know them. These same rotten apples remain quiet as they reap the benefits of those who are faithful. Oh, the building, the heat in the winter, the AC in the summer, fellowship meals, lights are on, working water in washrooms, the preacher's preaching, all those things, oh yeah. But they can't stop complaining when it is brought to their attention that all these things cost money. You know, those Christians, they come in and they brag openly, publicly, how much money they make each week. We make about $5,000 a week. They give $1 a week. Then you bring it to their attention, and they're quick to say something so ridiculous. Well, I got bills to pay, and if God wants me to give more, then he'll have to give me more, and then I'll give him more, you know. I give from the heart. It's from my heart. I purposed it in my heart. It's what I want to give. I want to give $1 from the $5,000 I made this week. It's enough there. It's what I feel is right. What? I gave Sister So-and-so a drive to church this week. I've earned it. Stop bugging me with this whole thing they're giving. So you gave $4,999 to the world, and you gave $1 to God. Oh, okay. You want to meet God that way? Hey, man, it's on you. Many individuals I've known like that have fallen from the faith since anyways. Because it's inevitable. It shows their faith. Now, I'm talking about righteous and faithful things. I'm not talking about the world and its corrupt ways with money. You can see him and you can recognize him, but it's crept into the church, into the minds of many saints, and it should not be. Now, the opposite is found in our brethren who give bountifully, right? They give bountifully, exceeding all expectations. They are selfless and thoughtful of others. They are constantly mindful of the gospel and how to have it reach more people. They think right, they live right, and therefore they give right. Because of such brethren, the grace of God has never left me in need. And therefore, I in turn give accordingly to others in need. I want to. I seek ways to do it. I want to give. Because I receive. You can count on these brethren. And they are punctual with their gifts, lovingly ready for all good works. Many good brethren, faithful brethren, give to the gospel cause here in East Coast Canada. They support the Maillé family. They support the value of the gospel being proclaimed. They love me and they love the gospel and they want the gospel to be preached in this area of the world, untapped. Very challenging. Secular. I pray in thankfulness to the great I am for these brethren. And I want God to bless them with the faithful health and faithful wealth. Not the world's ways, faithful ways. So that this work can continue to be supported. Each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Having a spirit, living mind will cause a Christian to strategically plan out his wallet for the greater good of the gospel so as to please God. He will be a good steward of God's blessings and will therefore proceed to set his giving as top priority. He's constantly looking for ways to help the gospel grow. When the check comes in, the Lord's portion is cheerfully organized for its intended purpose. How many of us, sadly, is just, oh, yeah, right, I got to give or something, right? Oh, man, I think I got a few pennies in my pocket there. That's not purposed giving. That's not cheerful giving. No, friends, that's not what it is. To give accordingly, as you purpose. It's a matter of joy to be a giver. It really is. You can find great peace and fulfillment and joy in life as a giver. And you may not be an individual who has much money. But again, look at what Paul was saying of these individuals and their great poverty they gave. They wanted to give in their great poverty. It's a matter of joy to be a giver. It makes me very happy, gives me inner peace when I give to God, His people, the needy, and the gospel. Only reasons given in the Bible for Christians to have money, and that is to provide for your family and to give to God. What else do you want it for? The only reasons given in the Bible, pay attention, the only reasons given in the Bible for Christians to have money, and that is to provide for your family, right? Food, shelter, clothing, defense, security, right? Protect them, yeah. And to give to God. Some give with a bitter heart, as if to have been forced to be faithful. And they do so at the last second, scrounging what's left in the pocket. Remember Ananias and Sapphira in Acts chapter 5? Oh yeah, you do. Didn't work out so well for them, did it? No. Behold, the feet of those who have buried your husband are at the door, and they will carry you out as well. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings? Malachi chapter 3, verse 8. Oh, yes, I know, before you're quick to say, well, Stefan, we don't live under the Old Testament anymore. No, you're right, but the principle is there, isn't it? The principle is there to be applied in our lives, isn't it? Well, of course, we've been told to learn from the old. It's God's nature. It speaks of Jesus and the coming kingdom. I'll repeat this again. Malachi 3, 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me, but ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. We may no longer be under the system of tithing, but the new covenant assures us of the same principle. It's a matter of the heart. We need to give good news support. Good news support allows this gospel content to be out there, knocking down the doors, pushing the boundaries of His kingdom. It's just colored paper, man. Why do you love it so? I can't give it away fast enough. You can't outgive God. When you give to the gospel cause, it's a beautiful thing. Therefore, openly before the churches, show them the proof of your love and of our reason for boasting about you. Chapter 8, verse 24. Let us be ready, prepared, and eagerly cheerful to give as we have been prospered. Truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all, for all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God, but she out of her poverty put in all the livelihood that she had. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. There are individuals, saints, brothers and sisters, who give to me out of their poverty. I may make more than they do in a month, but I'd rob them of their joy to give to this gospel content. And I know that, and it keeps me humble. And through that venue, it allows me to be a giver also. Where I can, I do. And I don't need to start boasting about that and telling the whole world to whom I'm giving and how much I'm giving. The Lord sees. The Lord knows. And that is sufficient. Because of the love of brethren who understand the command to give, God's grace has allowed this message to be produced with the technology purchased. The microphone, the camera, computer, the lights, the desk, the Bibles, the binders with the printed stuff I write, the office, the mustard seed of a library I have here. It's all a beginning for God in this corner of the world. And it's because you love Jesus that you have compassion for individuals who proclaim the good news. And so you want to give to that. That's why members of the Church of Christ have the opportunity to give and partake of this work. You can do so through various ways, PayPal or sending a check, or you can go to Patreon. You can go to, well, there's a whole bunch of areas there. You just have to reach out and know how. Let's be cheerful givers, shall we? Let's be what the Bible wants us to be. To give bountifully, not sparingly. To give purposed and cheerful, not grudgingly or under compulsion. Thanks for hearing me out. It is most certainly a difficult topic to speak about because, you know, us Christians, we don't like to talk about any kind of money being given away. We like our security, right? Sadly, some congregations are going to perish eternally because they've saved up every last dime and never used one. The talents, they buried it. Let's give to the gospel cause. As the sign behind me says, stay focused and stay positive. You are most certainly loved, and you will be blessed in your giving. I trust that 100%. We shall meet again here next time, Lord willing. God bless.